All right, and in this particular stretch, we're going to address any questions that you may have. If you need clarifications about looking out, the images and aging and understanding more about aging and youthing and longevity and that kind of thing, just kind of in the overview and that, looking at the reversal, looking at the activations, looking at images, societal programs, and so forth, of course, this would be the time to ask. Right? So anyone have any questions? And Daniel will give the mic to who has their hands up.
I just had thought maybe I'll do this thing like a bouquet, you know. That
oh, that'll be a sound we'd have to edit out, yes.
Thank you. Hi, hi, Galexis. It's Kate.
Well, hello, Kate. Well, we are flattered.
It's a pleasure to continue to work with you, Galexis.
Thank you.
One of the things I'm thinking of is even just in this exercise of examining who it is that might show up to be a model, I can't help but continue to, in just doing this exercise, sense into my future selves, one who's just a few years away and another that's probably 20 years away. So I was planning just to use the function that I feel in sensing in relationship with the future self in this exercise, and thought I'd throw that out here instead of bringing in somebody that I don't know.
All right. Well, there's a specific reason we suggested that you do it this way. All right? Because, see, what you're first going to replace is the consensus program. All right, and so you're not going to replace it with you. You're going to replace it out there, in a sense. All right, that's why we would suggest don't put your future self in there.
Okay.
All right, but there are certain qualities of your future self that if you need inspiration, you went there and you said, okay, well, here's what I would like to feel like in 15, 20 years. You know, okay. So imagine somebody. Imagine a woman. Who's about 15 or 20 years older than you, who lives somewhere out there, you know, in the world, and what she would look like if she were youthful and young. See, the thing is, you're planting the seed in the whole consensus so that that will feed back to you, because it's not like you're going to be immune to the consensus aging programs once you leave this workshop. You see? So what you want to do is you're changing the consensus programs that are filtered to you.
Okay.
So if you put yourself out there, then the consensus, then your subconscious looking for the consensus program will not look to that model. You see?
Yeah. I see. Thank you.
All right. Now, we will at some point go and work with your future self, all of you. But like we said, don't jump the gun yet, because what we have to do is we have to shift the consensus for you first.
Okay.
Your filters. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was looking at what would, it was one of the questions further down, what I would, kind of what my orientation's been for my whole life, and what would, I don't recall how you phrased it, but peak experience, thank you. And that was to know who I am and to be in connection with the goddess or in connection with the divine, and to be able to experience life that way, and to kind of walk out my door, and that's, you know, to really be standing tall in that. And I have a question, and this is regarding momentum.
Yes.
And I seem to, I'm confused because one of the things that I kind of dedicated this year to feeling gratitude. I listened to a really old gratitude tape last year that by Lazarus, and essentially gratitude, they said, is the way home, and gratitude is how the goddess feels every day, and there's just a million things that was on that tape, but it's something that when I tapped into it, what happened was I started tapping into it, and it was so overwhelming, the experience of it. It really was a state of ecstasy, and so maybe that is really more the orientation I'm looking for. But it was just a phenomenal experience. And for some reason, like this whole year, it's what saved my job, just feeling I found a place of gratitude about my job, and I know that that's why I'm still employed, as one of the reasons at least, one, a primary reason. And so it's just kind of been chipped away. Like I keep trying to find that place. I write down lists of things I'm grateful for. And this happens to me, you know, where I explore a new arena. Like I started working with the self-love tape. And I had these initial experiences of feeling so much self-love. And then it just kind of peters out, and I can't find it. And I... So
all right.
There's something there that is, you know, I'm in the seat, and then somehow I must put my hand on the reject button, and I'm out of the seat.
No, actually, you don't.
I don't.
No.
Okay.
Now, let us suggest something, and just let it sink in, all right?
Okay.
What happened with the love, self-love, and what has happened with the gratitude is that you integrated it into you. So it doesn't have as much distinction from your normal state of being.
Oh.
You've added it in. That's part of what is natural to do. It was your intention to do that.
Yes.
But you see, like you were saying, you were looking for that state of ecstasy. And, of course, a state of ecstasy has an additional huge level of jump and intensity beyond what, of course, you would be feeling right now. But think about it right now. Just think about the level of your being at this time. And if this current level of being that you have and you experience now, with all its freedom and its power and all the clarity that you've created in your emotional body and all the focus and the knowing and the wisdom, if you were to take this beingness, this state of being that you are now, and suddenly drop it into the you that you were 10 years ago, you'd overwhelm yourself. But you see, you don't tend to think that way. You tend to, because the problem is that you may tend to identify with yourself consistently at some level, regardless of what level you've reached. We find this very common. And that's part of the reason that we keep telling people, stretch your image, stretch your image, stretch your image, you know, and own more and more of who you are. Because you grow and you grow and you grow and you grow, and but you're not seeing it because your identification with yourself is the place that you used to be, because you don't see the integration of the greater light in you. You're taking it for granted already. See, so don't think that you're hitting the reject button at all. Okay? You didn't stop it. You didn't hamper the flow. It's that you were looking for this continuous intensity.
Right.
And when you integrate something inside you, it no longer feels intense. It would to the you of several years ago, yes. You could overwhelm your past self. If you suddenly stepped into yourself that you were 10 years ago, she would be like, oh my gosh, a major spiritual breakthrough. Oh, this is so overwhelming. I don't know if I can deal with this level of intensity. And you're like, what? This is my ordinary life. Think about it. Realize how far you've come. And expand your self-image to include the self that you are now. that those early experiences of the ecstasy, those early experiences of just almost overwhelming love and emotion are in you now. All right.
Thank you.
Now, if you want to get some more of those juicy experiences, we know you like those. Everyone likes those. And there's always further to go. You know, it's not like there's any place that you get to, you know, okay, I'm at 1 month with God. God, it's all it is. I can sit here. No, no, there's plenty more to go. There will always be more. Always. That's what infinity and eternity is all about. All right, so what we would suggest that you do is that you maybe want to connect more often with your future self, who is in a greater state of ecstasy compared to where you are, which is her normal, average, everyday experience. And just touch in on that. And just to remind yourself, hey, you know, I'm on track. You see?
Thank you.
All right. That's a good point she makes. You know, all of you tend to be too modest, you know, about it. Because you think you've got to look like a, what is it? There's this whole mythology about, you know, the sages of India, for example, that they would go out and they would meditate and they would be in ecstatic bliss, you know, and then they would have all these powers and all these miracles would happen around them and they could do this and they could do that and do the other. And of course, it's always overwhelming to their followers. And they think that they're in this incredible ecstatic bliss all the time, and they're not. It's really quite amazing because for them, that's so you're ordinary, and they're looking for more. They're looking, where's the next state of bliss? You see, they're just a little ahead. That's all. So realize that some of you who've had these experiences, such as Elizabeth has mentioned, you are so far ahead of other people in your world. If you drive down the street and you see people who, you know, don't do anything spiritual on a, you know, or on personal development, they don't go the mystic path. They're not looking for union with God, Goddess, all that is. They don't even know they could do that. You know, they may go to church on Sunday, you know, something, you know, they may have some kind of religious formality. And they may have had a beautiful experience when they were called, you know, when they were 18 or something. But if you were to drop into their consciousness, you would be so shocked at how limited it is and how dark it is and how insecure they are and how moody they are. And what, oh, you'd go, ugh, what is this? You'd run the hell out. Because you are not aware of how much you've cleaned out and how free and safe relatively you are in your emotional bodies. So acknowledge that. Acknowledge that. You're coming a long way. You see. And it's beautiful. You wouldn't want to be anyone else. You want to be who you are. Absolutely. That's the fun place. You wouldn't want to swap your issues for anybody else's. Now, sometimes you may fantasize about that, but, oh, well, I could swap for this millionaire. No, you wouldn't want to. You just be a millionaire yourself. Why swap with that person and all their garbage, you know? Who wants to sort through another 20 years of consensus reality crap through another body? Yeah. Is he? So you've done your work. You're on the momentum. You're on your flow now. All right. Next question.
Hello, Glexis.
Hello.
Charles. My question is sort of similar to Elizabeth, so if you say, well, it's just the same answer, that's okay too. but one of the things that I've been playing around with in my mind that Lazar said in one of the Maui workshops, I can't even remember which one now, was about giving up the illusion of separation. And I'm wondering how that plays in with this image of ourselves at a certain age, you know, now and later. Is that identifying with that image of who we are now, isn't that in a way of kind of being a separate from this divine source, you know, using this the perspective of giving up our separation. Where I tend to go with that is giving up our separation from God, Goddess.
Yes.
So
you're talking about the image of your the age that you are now.
Right. And so I'm wondering if there's some ground to be gained or by not identifying with the body image so much, but with this giving up this illusion of being separate from God, Goddess. Does this play into this at all?
Well, yes. However, you're kind of, you know, trying to get ahead of it. See, conceptually, we know you can already go there. Conceptually, we know you can already imagine not being bound by the consensus, because you know so much about the consensus. You know about the duality. You know about the linearity. All of that was done to create distinctions and separations. The best way to separate anybody from anybody else is to, for one to judge the other. You know? It just creates individuality and separation. However, you made a choice, all of you made a choice to come into physical body to explore individuality and from individuality as a leverage or vantage point to jump into the oneness as the individual, because there is a surrendering to the divine that is part of the, it's part of the stage of union. As you enter union, you surrender to the divine. Now, what are you surrendering? If you have no individuality, then you don't know who you are enough to surrender anything. So part of your spiritual development is to really work in the realm of the distinction of the individual, of the separation, to really get that. And then from there, reunite. It's a journey of separation. You'd come down through the dimensions, and then you return. And you're on your return. And as you, because you have come to your individuality, this experience that you are having right now in your life, on your planet, is the greatest culmination of individuality that's, in a sense, ever been available. Why? Because in order to move into fourth and fifth dimensions, you have to know who you are that you can step through that portal. It's part of knowing yourself, knowing the particle of God, Goddess, all that is that you are, noting the spark that you are. The consensus reality creates the energy of separation so as to distinguish things, so as to judge them, so as to place them in hierarchy. That intention is no longer yours. You see? So you're using the individuality from the spiritual journey point of view, in which you emerge a kind of an amorphous soul, spirit energy that kind of lives in the consensus like a fish does in water and doesn't know itself separate from the school, like the fish. Go in the school of fish, one fish turns, they all turn. Which is the leader? You can't tell. They turn all together. And they flash this way and they flash that way. They're silver scales in the line. It's a beautiful experience to watch. But where's the individuality, you see? So you came to a point of the individuality initially through the consensus to get the highest point on the pecking order you can get to get the highest level of success and power over and domination and respect and seniority and all that kind of stuff. But when you take off all the debris and detritus of the consensus orientation off of it, it's a spiritual journey to come to the individual that you are. Man, know thyself. Major theme throughout all metaphysics. And then you have something to go to the divine and open and say, accept me, receive me, let us me step into the oneness and experience the union and the oneness. Now, for a lot of people, they don't conceive how you can be individual and in the oneness at the same time. That's the ecstasy. That's the experience of the ecstasy. That's the experience of your alignment and connection with the divine that's within you. And so what you're going to be doing as part of this work of moving in the reality into fourth and fifth dimension is that you are going to be part of a network of spiritual elders. These are the long-lived folks, you know? The ones who've cleared the debris, they've cleared their aging out of their emotional bodies, they've cleared it out of their mental bodies, they're not trying to avoid death, they're not trying to avoid senescence, they're not trying to avoid growing old or growing up or growing, being mature or responsible. They're looking to be fully who they are in their knowing, consciously working with each other, networking with the other elders in oneness, in harmony, together. And until you can know who you are and that other knows who they are, the union between the two of you will not be in balance. And it will not achieve the rush of the bliss, the rush of the communion that is there. So it is a higher order to explore individuality. But all of you have also come to the point of recognizing that the spiritual advantages of individuality are coming to a peak. You're coming to a place to where, as you know yourself so well, and you know your emotional body, you know your mental body, you know your physical body, you know your spiritual focus, you know what the important things are, you know what your, and we were talking about, what is the peak experience you want to have in your life that will tell you, okay, I did it. This is what I came to experience. This is what I came to live in. This is what I came to play with. This is what I came to do and be. When you reach that, you see, you're realizing that you're getting close. It's like the horse rounding the bend, coming back to the stables, picking up some good speed. Oh gosh, home's really close now. The oneness is really close. It's not for you to judge the individuality anymore. That's a consensus concept from a old school metaphysics. But you see, in your concept, oneness and union means that you lose your individuality. But no, you're becoming gods and goddesses yourself. So your individuality is an asset. You also enter the oneness. You are in union and communion, and you're preserving a distinction that is not a separation, but it's just simply a frequency differentiation. Because without judgment, you can appreciate everyone's frequency. You can experience it. You can see it and see the bliss of every different frequency. And you have your own frequency band that you work on. So as we are talking about this, when we are saying, look at the image of what you thought, you know, is your age now. And what from 15 years ago or 10 or 20 or whenever it was, what did you think this age looked like to you? As we were starting to telling you to focus on what aging and now looks like, what we're doing is what we were explaining before. We're planting the seed of a new program in your consensus. As we were saying, as you leave this workshop and as you may forget and your subconscious starts just picking up on reference points about aging and time, you'll have installed a new set. You see? Then you'll get into later on in this workshop, you'll get to programming and seeing yourself and stepping in and being it and owning it and claiming it yourself and seeing yourself as your own future. But you want to have that as, in a sense, as your backup, so you don't just fall out and back into the old consensus program again. You understand?
Yeah, thanks, Alexis. That makes a lot of sense.
All right, another one?
Okay. Hello, Alexis. This is Maria. I think I'm having a little difficulty in looking at role models outside. How can I put this? I know one imprint when I was thinking of what imprints, and it feels like I'm not doing the homework, but one imprint that really does stand out for me is at the longevity workshop we did with Lazarus. I was 36, and I remember Lazarus saying, and I heard it this way, but it was an imprint, and Lazarus said, many of you will look, you know, in the future, because we were all about to take a break, and he said, now you're not going to need your little roller. Breaks to go to the bathroom are not going to be, 50 minutes while you get out your little strollers to stand in line. And then he just sort of tossed off this sentence. He said, many of you are going to look as young as you do today, and some of you will look younger. And I kind of looked around. Did he actually say that? And he said, okay, let's take a break. And I went, wow, what was that? And I know in that moment I've just kind of been thinking, okay, I'm going to look like I did it. I'm going to look 36 in the future, and somehow I've held to that. I just said, okay, that's it. I'm marking there. Not that I have to look 36. I have so much consensus stuff about aging and a lot of beliefs around menopause. I don't know how personal these questions are supposed to be, but I don't.
They can be anything, all right?
Really? Well, then that's great, because I have thought we're going to have to look different because we're all doing this emotional, mental, spiritual work. And I've also been fascinated with the idea of having fairy blood and fairy sense of time and space and how that would affect us physically, even though I know some of my desires are still consensus. And dealing with menopause, I have definitely a lot of beliefs around that that have been aging me.
Yes.
So I'm not quite sure what my question is, except I can't see an imprint as much in the consensus as the imprint that happened that day that I really have held. So,
all right. Well, the reason that you're having a bit of a difficulty with that is because at that time when you said I'm going to be 30, looks 36 and all that kind of thing, you were, you set up for yourself as a reaction to consensus, a rebellion against consensus.
Yes.
So therefore, subconsciously, you're holding a judgment against consensus. And so you're going to get stuck with it. You understand?
I'm sure. I mean, no,
right?
Not really. Actually, I don't. But I would love to work with it and heal it.
All right. So the point we're making is that what we're doing is we're healing consensus by this particular technique. And we're healing consensus first for you. Then you can do your youthing. Then you can do your aging reversal so that you have the opportunity to actually, you know, look younger than you do now, you know, 20 years from now. But first, we want to change what is the automatic knee-jerk consensus reality program for you. Because right now, your consensus reality program, if you're ignoring it and paying attention to, okay, I'm going to be on the aging program of the fairy realm, right? It's like, okay, 500-600 years from now, you know, then I'll think about it. But you see, the thing is, if you're focusing there, you're missing that your subconscious and your body will still be picking up consensus program.
Yes, that does make sense.
And that'll undermine you.
And so then I can absolutely say this whole menopause thing is absolutely, as soon as I started going there and feeling my energy and images and feelings changed, menopause kind of threw me for a loop. So I'm really hooked in consensus there.
Yes, you are.
So maybe I could ask for help with that.
All right, let's look at menopause then. Now we're going to talk about it later, but we can talk about some of it right now, okay? One of the things about menopause is that it's an aging marker for women to say that now women, now that they've left their childbearing years, they're no longer useful. you know, the old program, which is, you know, it's like there's common law, and on top of it was built all these other laws and blah, 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 blah. But underneath it all, there's kind of basics of laws that are kind of the foundation of legal systems all around the place. Well, there's an old consensus reality from hundreds of years ago, and it still has a kind of bottom line drumbeat underneath all the consensus reality growth and expansion and everything that transpired in the modern world. Still sits somewhere underneath it all that nature, this is a belief about nature, is that once you're done with your childbearing years, you die. It's an old thing. People used not to live long enough. They would have their children, and sometimes they wouldn't even make it to menopause. They would die. You know, die in their 20s and 30s. An elder in a tribe, you know, 200 years ago was probably 40, and that was like, awesome. Made it to 40. Wow. Okay? Well, you could be an elder at 40 then, because you probably would know all that was needed to know at 40. You can't do that now at 40. There's too much to know, right? So the program that you're going to be moving into is this, that menopause is a marker to tell you that you have entered your eldership. Not that you are old and senescent and no longer useful, and that only if you have, you know, youthful hormones and you can have babies are you worth anything. They have a certain consensus perspective in India. In fact, that, you know, that the woman, almost a property of man, is her job is to have babies, raise the babies, and so forth. But what's happened in the modern world over there is that when a woman enters menopause, she is no longer a man's property in a sense, because the reason that the women were like men's property was because that way men would know for sure that the children that the women had were theirs. So they wouldn't give their inheritance to some other man's child. You see? It was all about to dominate the bloodline and to dominate inheritance. So women were part of that whole system. And as soon as a woman entered menopause, she couldn't have babies anymore. And therefore, well, now we don't have to, like, hover over her and watch her and you know, monitor her and so on and so on and so on. And now she can be the babysitter, right, for her grandchildren, whatever. What in modern India, though, has happened is that women hit menopause, they're freed. Their duties and obligations, in a sense, are over. And they go back to school and they get law degrees and things like that, and they enter society. They just have a career, you know, 20 years, 30 years later. And they get to have interesting lives in that regard. That's a modern development. But the overlay of it is that the childbearing years, this is your usefulness to nature to you know, keep the species going. And also, you know, you are, you know, the slave or the owned by your husband, because all your children must be his, so that because who can track a woman's child? You can track a mother, but you can't track the father. They didn't have DNA tests then, you know. So that's why the severity of punishment for women who had affairs is so much more severe than for men. So anyway, the point we're making here is that you're going to repattern and reformat and re-choose what menopause is about. Menopause is an indication for you that you're entering a phase of your life in which you will be doing your life work, your true spiritual work. Even in India, they would have it. There would be the householder years, and then after householder years, people would go off and sit with the gurus and meditate. They were done with the, you know, earning the money and doing all that kind of stuff. Their retirement was sitting by the Ganges or something in meditation, or up in a cave in the Tibetan hills or whatever. So this is your version. This is the new version. It's in your eldership that you're going to be able to make this shift and make this change. Because it's when you go into menopause that you can actually step free of most of the consensus reality programs on women. Do you realize that? Can you allow that menopause is a time of freedom?
Yeah, I definitely can feel the freedom. I think the part that resents, I mean, I can feel the part that is so happy because I actually like feeling invisible with the much more invisible. That's what I've made of it. But I also have a resent. I find I'm resenting it too. I'm resenting the consensus. It's my own chauvinism. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And
wonderful how it comes up to the surface, isn't it?
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. somehow I've lost something. I mean, I can see the feeling that I have less value or I'm less attractive or all these things that
right.
I can be rebelling against.
So but, how what wonderful feedback. So it shows you, okay, here's the stuff to work on now. You see, to as a powerful reality creator, it's time for you to clear those programs. Now, one of the things we did in the downloads was to download the new programs, actually about what menopause is, what aging is, what longevity is, and so on, so that when you make the choice and when you set up the new consensus program for yourself, and then we will then set up your program for yourself. Then those programs that we put in, those codes that we put in, can kick in. You see?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. It's really a time of tremendous empowerment. You know, in the Native American tradition, it's the women whose blood no longer flows. They hold the blood. And it's like they hold the blood, they hold the wisdom, they hold the nutrition, they hold the awareness, they hold the knowledge. You see? And so, you know, and of course, what does society say? What is their definition of crone? You want to go, ooh. You know, what is it, nearing Halloween now, you know? A big wart on the chin. Sunken in mouth, you know. Oh, you've got to also have one of those black hats with a peak on it, right? That tips over on the top. Right? And riding brooms, oh my. It's a woman's power. It's a woman's power time. Now, there's a lot of symptoms of the body that show up at menopause, which are reactions to emotional debris and judgments of the consensus programs about aging, which is part of what we're retemplating. All right? And that shows up in hot flashes, which is the adrenal glands kicking off, which is like old angers. Old frustrations and old fears. If you'll note, those of you who have hot flashes or had hot flashes, there are emotional triggers. You know, for example, the channel, when she had her hot flashes, she was like, she came to a point, oh, I have to make a decision. And she saw that as stressful and hard. Bang, hot flash. Yeah. Well, you have to make decisions all day long, don't you? You know, it's like, well, they're drenched all day long trying to make these damn decisions. Yeah, whatever's frustrating, whatever's difficult, whatever's stressful, there's like rage about it. There's anger coming up. It can't be held back anymore. It's not a mystery that in astrology, the planet that rules the blood is Mars, which also rules anger. All right? Blood also, energetically, is thematically linked to family, yes, and tradition. What you inherit. What comes to you from your biological heritage. It includes the beliefs and the attitudes and the crazy stuff as well. Right? So when you hold that, it means, okay, time to deal with it, time to get done with it. You'll bring it to the surface. And that's what a lot of the symptoms of menopause are bringing all these old programs to the surface to clear so you can step into your wisdom and step into your global mission. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. So don't look at menopause. You know, we know you're trying to look at menopause as the elder wise years, you know, and all that kind of stuff, the golden years and all that. Don't fall for that. It is the wise years, but you've got to genuinely know what kind of wisdom you're talking about here. You got to generally recognize the august mission that you are on, and that, in a sense, menopause says, hey, you're starting it. This is the time to clear those limiting obstacles from your consensus, from your society, from your culture. It's time for you to be free of your society now. It's free for you. It's your time. It's time for you. And that's why a lot of times people, women enter menopause and they have thyroid issues. Because the thyroid is like, okay, whatever you want. Okay, I have to take care of you. Okay, I have to meet your demand. Oh yeah, I have to do this for you. Someday I'll get to do my project. Someday I'll do my creative thing. Someday I'll hang out and just be able to enjoy looking at the flowers in the garden. Someday I'll, you know, whatever. That's a thyroid thing. You understand?
Yes, I do have thyroid myself. The slowing down thyroid. I mean, I need to activate it.
Uh-huh. Well, the reason the thyroid slows down is because the thyroid's tired of not ever doing what you really, really, really want to do. Thyroid's tired of doing everything you're supposed to do, and everything you have to do, and everything you must do, and you're obligated, and you promised to do, and you have, and they're demanding, and they need you, and they're calling you and asking you to do. Hot flash.
Yeah, I'm having hot flash right now.
Very good. Bingo, yes.
Well, actually, now I appreciate this because that's true. It's the voice and creative expression is what I'm wanting most when you said, what are we looking forward to? And I'm realizing I just, in some levels, I'm not giving myself the freedom to go for the level of creative expression I'm wanting. I mean, there's
That's
still
right.
that permission there and mm-hmm. probably anger. And then I'm finding things that I should be doing instead of my creative expression. And
All right.
So it's
That's
not.
You in disentangling and disengaging from the consensus reality programs of women. That's what that's about. And after you get into menopause a few years, it gets really so much better. It's so much more fun. Really. If you take care of yourself and you get that work done, you enter a state of incredible freedom. It's just amazing. You know, the stress is coming. It just kind of roll over you. Okay. Hey, I didn't have a hot flash, right? Because it's out. It's done. It's cleared. Your body cleared it. Your mind cleared it. Your emotions cleared it. You enter a state of, now for a lot of women who don't have a spiritual orientation and they don't have this mission, menopause, after a few years, they get adjusted to it. It's, they have compromised. They have adjusted. It's okay now. I guess I'm going to be the grandmotherly figure now. Okay, I guess I have to be old now. I guess, whatever. And they give up. And that's what you're afraid of, right?
Yeah,
that scares you.
Yeah,
because that's the program, the society program looming in front of you, right? Now men have a similar one. It's generally about their work and their usefulness, because men the providers, or men have to demonstrate and prove and perform on that kind of thing, And as men approach retirement, they go through the same challenges. Who am I now? After all the, have I really reached my peak fulfillment? Or am I a failure? You see, and if they determine that they're a failure and useless and there's really nothing for them to do because all their lives were focused on being the breadwinner and being the important man who made the decisions and things like that. And now that they sit at home and watch TV and their wife serves them lunch and they're like bored, and they think, well, maybe I'll go out and with my buddies and we'll we can play some golf, except so-and-so is too ill today and I just can't hit the ball like I used to, but well, at least we go out to the course and pretend we're young again. You know, it's sad, right? And they get together and they talk about all their hospital visits. It's sad. So it's scary, of course, when a man reaches a time when he sees his potential of his financial waning. A lot of men who are in their 50s, late 50s, 60s, right now, in this economic downturn, they're running really scared. Are they worth anything anymore? Are they failing now? Is this it? Is this all they're going to get out of life? Is this all they're going to be able to do? That's why after retirement, you know, you have a really high chance, guys do, of dying within a year or two. Because what else is there? When there's nothing else to do, oh, well, might as well go. You see? For women, it's like, okay, now maybe if you have had children, maybe you're going to be lucky enough to be a grandmother. And then you can, you know, go visit your grandchildren and pamper them and keep yourself youthful. But, you know, even though that's beautiful and loving, is it enough for you? For you, is it enough? For those of you who've come to change consciousness, of course not. If you're lucky enough to be a grandmother, great, enjoy it. And it's time for you to do things that you want to do. Time for you to create your new self, your new identity, your new reality. That's what we're working with here today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, so that'll be it for right now. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. That's going to be a little bit shorter. Let's see. 19. How about it's about 7 minutes? Can we do a short break till about, right now we have 1:08 to about 1:15. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it'll be a shorter break. All right. Now, just review your images. All right. And what your peak experience is. And in the peak experience, it's not what it is as much as it is the experience, the feeling of it. What will it feel like to be there? How will you know you're there? What tells you that you are there? If your peak experience is to create. Okay, so what do you feel when you're in that creation? When you're doing your creation? What is the feeling? What is the state? Okay, see if you can kind of pick up on that. And so in just a few minutes, we will be with you again. And we will do a meditation before lunch. Farewell.